All right. We're still at governing principles number two. It's not how you start,
it's how you finish.
Governing principle number two, making people wholesome in all aspects of life to manifest Christ-likeness. So we talked about marriage, motive, morality, and tonight we're going to talk about money. Praise the Lord. That's something, you know, that we have to make sure that in every aspect of our life we're maturing, we're growing, because if we leave, you know, one area out, then, you know, we're gonna fall a little short. So an aspect of money. Well, if you've been around Apostle any length of time, you know that that's his assignment. And also, if you've been around him any time at all, your money is increased.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. So this next aspect that will affect our maturity into man or womanhood is the area of money. Breakthrough believers will not be able to rise in maturity to manhood or womanhood, overcome the cares of the world, reveal Christ's likeness and character until the love of money is rooted out of their heart and soul. Praise God. So we need to look at this. We need to take a good look at it. Let's look at. Let's go into 2 Timothy 3. You know that there in Mark 4:19 it talks about the words of the world and deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke out the word and it becomes unfruitful. We have to stick with kingdom agenda. Now, if we are to really function in the kingdom aspect, we're going to have to learn how to put money in its proper place. Y'all with me? See, many times, you know, people get born again, that sort of thing, and they don't ever learn, you know, about the aspect of finances. And so they just live reckless. They live reckless instead of understanding Matthew 6:33, that we ought to seek the kingdom first and his righteousness and have the kingdom agenda on our mind at all times. And then, you know, we'll be able to accomplish the thing that God said we're supposed to accomplish in the earth realm. All right. So in 2 Timothy 3. It says, but know this, that in the last days perilous time will come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said, from such people turn away. So Paul is wanting to see these six type of lovers, lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of violence, lovers of religion, lovers of pleasure, and lovers of knowledge. Those who are Lovers of self have total disregard for relationships and the interests of others. Those that are lovers of self. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. And it's one of the things that the message that the Lord gave the apostle about money cometh will do. It will teach you, if you follow it closely, it will teach you to operate in a principle where you trust God and not, you won't trust the money itself, all right? So one of the things that happened to me, you know, God, you know, it almost seemed like, you know, as soon as it looked like, you know, I'm about to go there, you know, God is about to really just overflow me with finance and that sort of thing stuff. God say, give it all. And so I went for some years, you know, just obeying God in that way. And so not too long, the Lord said, you thought I didn't want you to have anything, didn't you? I said, Lord, you thought I didn't want you to have a whole lot. I say, well, I mean, Lord, you mean. And so he said this to me. He said, no, I had to get you to the place to where you didn't trust money no more. And see, that's the thing. See, we have to learn how to trust God above anything else, any kind of resource we have and that kind of thing. And when you get to that point, how many of you know God is able to trust you with more? Because he knows when he asks you for it, you're going to give it up. Man, I'm telling you, the cares of the world, I mean, it will cause you to be scrambling here and there and that kind of thing and stuff. And we'll forget about the kingdom agenda. In the kingdom of God, you know, like in our democracy, you know, we have to pay taxes, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In the kingdom, the taxes that we are paying is tithes. Yes, in the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
You know, just like you know, they have to have in democracy, they have to have, you know, taxes for infrastructure and that kind of thing and stuff. So in the kingdom of God, we're responsible for paying our tithes and offering. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's not going to be an ATM machine that God is going to let down from heaven whenever we need to build something, we need to do something for the kingdom. No, God's going to put it in our hand, and we have to. This is the thing about the government going to take their money. You know why? Because they don't trust us. So before you get paid, they take theirs out. But this is the way God operates. God gave us a will. So God won't violate our will. You with me? So just like, you know, in the garden, when God put the tree of good and evil, God didn't have to put that there, did he? Yeah, no. But the thing about it, he had to because he had to give man a will. He had to let man choose what he wanted to do. You understand? God doesn't want us to be robots. But boy, if God can ever get you in a position where he has your heart, and you begin to just obey him whenever he speaks to you, I'm telling you, you putting yourself in a position for God to bless you like you ain't never saw it before. Praise the Lord. But see, your will is involved. Okay, it's just like, you know, somebody, you know, if you've ever been in love with anybody, you know, no, let me say it this way. If anybody ever been in love with you, You didn't want them to love you because you forced them to. You wanted them to love you because you're on their own free will. What happens when somebody is forced to love you? I mean, you know, you go through life catching hell if somebody's forced. You understand what I'm saying? So God, He doesn't want to force us to do anything. But boy, when he see us doing it with a delight, you understand what I'm saying? That's why the Bible say, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. When he see us doing it delightfully and joyfully, that's why the Bible say God love a cheerful giver. God doesn't want nobody who, you know, they sitting up there, I got something I got to do with this. It's almost like, you're going to hurt God if you don't give something. You know what I'm saying? So, wait a minute, I'm going to show y'all something, because a lot of times, let me go a little further here, then because I'm going to show you something. Let me say this, because this is something that I want to say to people. I know people on the internet that's in school too. I believe that part of what God called me to do to help apostles is stop some of these renegades. Stop some of these folk who always trying to do something on their own and without, God's approval and that sort of thing and stuff. You know, apostle in the minister's conference, you were here, apostle told about something that went on with him, and his spiritual father years ago. Y'all remember that? And so he talked about the young prophet and the old prophet. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And God had told him that God had prepared him for what was about to happen, take place, right? So when he got the phone call and he couldn't go to the meeting, and he made this statement. He said that we can never override God, right? So he said to us, if I say something and God say something, say, don't ever let what I say override what God say. Remember me say that?
Yes.
Now, this is what I want to say about that statement he made. That was the exception, but that's not the rule. Okay, all right. Okay. See, because some people take an end of that and say, the Lord told me to go here, and apostle said, I'm supposed to be here, but God overrode him. Okay, all right. Okay. First of all, God gave apostle a message to carry to the body of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So now, anything that interferes, he sent him to the larger body. Y'all with me? He sent him to the larger body. So by sending him to the larger body, then when something was said that would hinder that, see, this is what get me about people. They grab a hold of something like that, and then they go to talking about, the Lord don't want me to be a part of LTMA no more. They don't want me. No. That's their flesh. They're just waiting on the opportunity. But when, because of, I want you to think about it, because of the magnitude of the assignment. I'm finna say something else. If he hadn't obeyed God, watch what I'm finna say. We'll be broke right now. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. Some people say, "Well, I'm kind of on the broke side now," but you would have been broken than what you are. See, the whole plan of God is to walk you through the system, so that you can get to the place where you don't trust the money. The money is a tool for you to use to serve God. You with me? All right. So, these folk, act like the Lord done spoke to them. But like I said, that was an exception. That's not the rule. God does not go behind a spiritual father and get you to rebel against him. And then the thing about it is, and you're not even, you may not even be called to the local church where you're talking about going. So there's no big assignment that you have where God has to override spiritual guide that he's put in your life. Hallelujah. So we just need to stop some of these renegades, you know, because they look for an excuse. You know, they say, well, you know, watch this. They say this here. Well, you know, the Lord, you know, I'll submit to authority, but I won't submit to control. Well, you don't have nobody that's trying to control you. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have nobody that's trying to control you. You know, if folk want to go, you know, they got hinges that swing on the doors both ways. Praise the Lord. So that just been kind of heavy on me. They ain't got nothing to do with our lesson, but I just wanted to, you know, kind of keep some of the renegades from renegading. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So those who are the lovers of money have total disregard for morality and ethics. Those who love the lovers of violence have total disregard for life and peace. Those who are lovers of religion have totally disregard for a fresh move of God. Those who are lovers of pleasure have total disregard for kingdom lifestyle and values. Those who are lovers of knowledge have total disregard for obedience as they chose to live in this, they choose to live in deception. So every breakthrough believer must break through in the area of giving and receiving. Everyone, you got to break through in the area of giving and receiving. Now, sometimes people give, and they give really because they don't want to look like they're not giving when everybody else is giving. And so many times they don't have a revelation on giving, but they just giving. And how many of you know, if you don't, you can't, apostle say this, you can't give in the dark. You got to have light when it comes down to your giving. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So you have to have a revelation about giving. So and the only way you can get a revelation about giving is you have to meditate on the word as it relates to giving. You know, for God to open it up and give you light and that sort of thing. All right. Now, a lot of times people go to the altar and give, you know, but I want to show you where I want to give you some faith with you, what you're giving when you go to the altar. First Samuel. Let me see. Give me a minute here. First Samuel. I'll just see. First Samuel 9. First Samuel the 9th. Chapter, verse 8. Start at verse 8. Look at verse 3. You see it? It say, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and rise and go and look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and they weren't there. Then they passed through the land of the Benjaminites, but they did not find them. And when they had come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to the servant who was with him, come, let us return, let my father cease caring about the donkeys and become wearied about us. Now watch this. And he said unto him, look now, there is in this city a man of God. Look what he said. Now, they out looking for something, but they need some direction. So the first thing they said that they got a man of God in this city. Look what they say. They got a man of God in this city, and he is an honorable man. See, not just somebody who say they call, but somebody who has impeccable character. They got an honorable man in this city. Y'all still with me? So he said, and all that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels are all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. Look what he said. He said, what do we have? And the servant answered again and said, look, I have here have at hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. So what they would do before they go to the man of God, they already had a gift to bring to him. See, and I wanna emphasize that because sometimes people have not got a revelation from the scripture because they think that it just does. See, the scripture gonna always prove itself. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, just like the remember the widow of Zarephath? Remember the widow when Elijah went to her? Elijah told a woman for to make him a cake first. See, because, amen, that was the custom of how they did things. They had respect for a man of God, a woman of God. You with me? They had respect. They had honor. And see, a lot of times when people take it the wrong way, you know, whenever, you know, the Lord did this to me. I didn't do it to myself. I guess I'm a pusher. You know what I'm saying? Yes, praise the Lord. And so I know where obeying God in sowing what it's done for me. And so a lot of times people struggle and I just try to push them and they think I'm doing something else. They think, you know, man, you don't understand. I got this to do and I got that to do. Well, praise the Lord. I'm just trying to tell you that you're not really putting kingdom priorities first. If you put the kingdom priorities first, the money gonna always be there. I'm telling you, that's the way God. But until, like Apostle said, that soul just blocking us. That soul will block you. Oh man. I mean, your mind go to talking to you, telling you, you know what all you need to do and this, that, and the other. And if you do this, this going to happen and that's going to happen. And watch this. Okay. Sometimes people, you know, that's part of LTMA, when we get ready to do Founders Day, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm going to do, you know, $100. That's the best you could do, $100? Wait a minute now. I'm talking about pastors and stuff now. So I'm not, you know. So don't y'all trip on me now. So you know, because we know the year before that the meeting gonna be next year, so we can start preparing now. So watch this. Somebody say, well, I can give $100. Well, you probably can give $100, but you don't need no faith for that. You can go in your pocket and give $100. You understand what I'm saying? Anything that's not faith is sin. So you mean to tell me you got a year and you can't believe God? You can't trust God. A whole year out. Lord, give me a figure. See, some folk ain't not going to ask God to give them a figure because they're afraid of what God going to say. So they make up their mind that they're going to do this because I can do this. I know I can do this, but it don't take faith to do that. And God is always trying to get you further out because God is trying to get more to you.
But the more you try to hold on to the little you got, you know, the harder it is for God to get to you when he's trying to get to you. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you. Glory to God. So their financial integrity must be above board. They must learn to honor God in all financial dealings with others. You can't be no crook. The areas of repayment of loans must be girded with honesty. You told them, folk, you're going to pay for it, you need to pay for it. And when you can't, you need to call them and give them a day when you can pay for it. You understand what I'm saying? You just got to be honest. You can't be ducking the folk. Got the little baby answering the phone, say, tell him she's not here. Baby say, she say she's not here. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to really have to have integrity. All right. Then the areas of spending must be girded with wisdom. Amen. Now, God gave me this. So I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to influence them to do what God told me, because I'm not. God told me, God may have another path for you. But anytime I get ready to make a major purchase or something, I talk to Apostle first. I say, Apostle, this is what I'm thinking about doing. What you think? And so this is what I did. I gave him the permission. I need you to be honest with me. See, because watch this. People are trip on you. I said, people trip on you. People ask you, you know, what you think I ought to do. And he say, no, you need to just sow your way. You're not ready yet. And then you believe in that something, huh, all them big cars you got, I can't have. See, you start tripping. But when you really serious about going where God is trying to take you, and somebody has already been there, they can give you some advice if you take it, if you don't trip. So I'd asked the apostle once about I want to get an Escalade. He said, no, son, just go ahead on, continue to sow. He said, it's going to come. Praise the Lord. So the money I had for the down payment that I had for the Escalade, I sold it. You with me? So, but the thing about it, Apostle went and got him an Escalade. You understand what I'm saying? Now, suppose I'd have been tripping. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. No. He able to do that. I'm not able to do that right now. So I need to keep on working what I'm working. You with me? And so after I had went a protracted period of time, he said, son, you ready now? And so we were down in Hawaii. And he was sharing about that. And so Brother Jesse, the planners, was down there with us. And so he told me after, he said, that kind of obedience, that. He said, man, God going to give you two. And so, you know, time went on. You know, I got the one and that kind of thing and stuff, you know, praise the Lord. And so I said, well, man, the man of God said two. So the one I had, my son tore it up. So I got the second one. He didn't say I was going to get two at have two at one time. You know what I'm saying? So, but some people are so, let me see, I won't say it. Some people are so flaky. So flaky, man. So flaky. One minute, they act like they want advice from you. Then all of a sudden, you know, they get impatient. And then they go to, I don't know. I'm struggling a whole lot, you know. It ain't a possible problem that you're struggling. It got some things that you're doing that you really oughtn't to be. Sometimes folks just don't know how to manage their money. Joseph, I'm one of them. But the Lord told me,
We was, my wife and I, we were, you know, we go to Walmart. We need some detergent, loaf of bread, and a few other little items. And so we go to Walmart. The basket is running over. We got to go get another basket. This is not what we came here for. So the Lord said to me, he said, you let Walmart rob you out of your seed. See, somebody may say, well, I mean, you get to use it. No, no, because my wife, she look at them dates on there. And at the end of the year, she taking all that stuff out the pantry that's outdated, that we done stockpiled, that we never got a chance to use. So Satan stole our seed. So the Lord said this to me. The Lord said, you know them Kentwood jugs? Man, look. When I used to come home out of cement finishing, when I was doing construction business, I come home at night, whatever was in my pocket, I just put it in a jar. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's that change you're saving for a rainy day. You know what I'm talking about? So I take it to put it in there and that kind of thing. And so Lord said, do the same thing now. Can I tell y'all something? Can I tell y'all the truth?
Yes, sir.
Like, at the end of about 3 month period, we found out that when we take that money out of that jar, that jug, we got $20,000 to $30,000 up in there. Guess what that money for? That money is for apostle. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So whenever the Founders Day is, praise the Lord, I have my money in March. You understand what I'm saying? I have my money in March, so I have from March to time to for the meeting. Amen. I got overflow money now. Praise the Lord. See, you got to get serious about this. I said you got to get serious about it. And you got to, the Holy Spirit's got to show you what to do. Holy Spirit got a path for everybody. You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of times when we trying to, let me go on a little further here, because my time just about ran out here. The areas of borrowing must be controlled by kingdom priorities. You can't get yourself sunk down in debt. So believers must be taught to divide their income into three portions: tithes, bread, and seed. Tithe is 10% of the gross income. Folks want to argue about that. Why can't pay the net? Why you can't pay the gross? Praise the Lord. The bread is the amount of money we need to sustain our lifestyles. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for your food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So if you live a lifestyle of debt and repayment, you're going to need a bigger loaf. So this area is where most believers fail miserably. They buy too much too soon on credit and acquire massive debt. The buy first, pay later scheme often entices believers to own things they have no capacity to have. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the reason why I'm asking the apostle, because, you know, he is my overseer, he my apostle, and guess what? Amen. He is responsible for training me. Yes. See, all of us got to allow him to train us. Yes. You can't be tripping. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? You can't be tripping. I know that I got to do this, but look, I got something else to do, and I'll get back with y'all. Okay, all right, okay, all right.
So this forces them to desire to enjoy the luxury without paying the price. It's like choosing to have premarital sex before marriage and then live a life, live in a promiscuous lifestyle. Try it before you buy it. It's true. We'll be married later, but by violating a divine principle, we open the door for demonic attacks, not only on our testimony, but also on our future married life. See when you're trying to get something out. One of the most dangerous things that can happen to you is to try to keep up with somebody. You know, you got relatives and that kind of thing and stuff, you know, and they won't throw these big parties so that you come over and see what all they got. That's what the party for. The party really not for you. The party is so you can see what they got. And so many times when you go and you see this and you see that, and then they go to ask you a question like this. Girl, when y'all gonna get rid of that old time, what they call it? Projector screen TV y'all got. You know, cause they got modern, see how clear that picture is? 4K. And so you got to go home. Now your soul, you're worrying with your soul. Because you really want to have the family over, but you don't want to get them over because you don't have the stuff that your cousin had. You can't let competition get in your way. That's just like anything else. When you made your mind up, you know, whether you're going to college or whatever and stuff, and you put the time in to studying and to doing what's necessary because you have a goal that you're trying to reach, right? You got to be the same. Well, you got to be tenacious. You got to have the same tenacity when it comes down to sowing. Y'all with me? You got to have that same kind of tenacity. You got to, there are some things that you know that you're going to have to pass on this time. You're going to have to pass this time. Because that's some things that God wants you to do with what he's given you. And many times God give it to you to test you. To test you to see. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not just talking. I ain't blowing hot air. This is what I do. You understand what I'm saying? In Ecclesiastes 11:6, sow your seed in the morning and even though withhold your hand. The Bible says, because you don't know which one going to hit, this one or that one. You know, I did some looking up about that morning and evening. In creation, that's what God did. God used morning and evening because it constituted a day. You understand what I'm saying? So that was time when they had morning and evening burnt offerings. You know, because the Bible said you don't know which one is going to be the one that's going to bring you out. Guess what? If I'm just sowing once a day, my chances of coming out is less than if I'm sowing morning and evening. Yes, my chances are greater. Yes, you think you're losing something, but you're really gaining. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. Don't start off being no sower, then get slack. Keep on. Oh, I got 28 seconds. Look, y'all know what we do, graduates, you know, I don't know who the class person, but you know, we do something for apostle. Yes, all right. So y'all ought to be the biggest giving class that didn't have yet. Yes, you're the purpose in your heart to do it. I got 8 seconds and I'm gone.